afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we're learning about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. And hopefully you'll learn something new and be inspired to think about how you might make a difference with your deeds. Today we'll pause to consider what it means to live in a just and peaceful community, and what actions we might all take to get closer to that ideal. Joining me here in the WRIR studio is Adria Scharf, Director of Richmond Peace Education Center. Welcome, Adria.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
Well, it's great to have you. Why don't you tell us first a little bit about Richmond Peace Education Center? How did it come about?
The Richmond Peace Education Center was founded in 1980, 32 years ago, by a group of people who had the foresight to see that the greater Richmond community needed a center focused on educating about peaceful alternatives to conflict. And back 32 years ago, the organization's original focus was very much around global issues. So the center was founded originally in response to the nuclear arms race.
Oh, I was thinking that's about the time of the whole no nukes movement, right?
Very much so. Yeah. Very much so. And there was a large conference here in Richmond with some national speakers and a lot of people, particularly people of faith, ecumenical Christian congregations, people connected to Union Theological Seminary, following this conference, decided that they wanted an ongoing institution dedicated to focusing on these larger issues of war, and again, promoting alternatives to war and promoting concrete solutions, concrete peaceful solutions to conflict. Over the years, the Peace Center has shifted in its focus. We still are in part focused on global concerns, but really the vast majority of our time and resources as an organization are focused on local issues of violence prevention, promoting nonviolence here locally, and addressing some of the underlying inequities and injustices that underlie many of the problems with community violence that we have here in the Richmond area.
What do you mean by that in terms of the relationship between justice and violence in the community?
We at the Peace Center, part of what we do is we educate people about very concrete ways to resolve conflict. So we teach people skills and techniques for resolving conflict in their everyday lives and communities. But we understand at the Peace Center that so many of the problems of violence that we have are, in fact, symptomatic. They're symptomatic of much deeper historical and sociological issues of inequality and the fact that we've really left behind far too many of our communities and far too many of our neighbors. And so we understand that the problem of community violence is connected with problems of injustice, and that if we want to truly build a sustainably more peaceful community here in Richmond, we absolutely must work to address those deeper inequalities as well.
So how do you do that as an organization? How do you address those issues?
It's a challenge. We really work in partnership with many other organizations that are also working to address inequality. We have a racial justice initiative, which convenes community members together annually for discussion and dialogue around racial justice, and strives to equip people to be able to work across lines of race and economic inequality to come together to forge coalitions to work for justice.
You said that happens annually. Is it like an annual conference, or is it something that goes wrong?
No, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We every year have a racial justice program, which each year has included a large public forum. So a discussion, a large public event. And in fact, this year's Racial Justice Forum is going to be held on October 9th.
Oh, well, yeah, you mentioned that you're partnering with other groups.
Yes,
so I assume that you're working, thinking about when you're looking at programs that you're providing, that you are complementing other work that's going on. Can you talk a little bit about who some of those partners are?
Absolutely. We have so much respect for so many of the other organizations here in Richmond that are already working on the ground doing reconciliation and trust building work, including, of course, Hope in the City's Initiative of Change, Richmond Hill, The Defenders.
The Defenders, like Defenders Live here on WRIR.
Yes, indeed.
Every Monday.
Yes, I'm a fan of Anna Edwards' program. And so we, you know, we at the Peace Center, when we work to advance justice, we, on the one hand, really try to keep track of what all the other groups are doing and then educate our Peace Center community and encourage people to attend and participate and strengthen what our other allies are doing. And then we also try to really carve out a program that really offers something that does complement and enhance and that doesn't duplicate the great work that's already happening.
That's right. And it's not like you can hear the message of peace and justice too many times.
So true.
Because you are up against a society that has the opposite message everywhere you turn, right?
Thank you. It is absolutely true.
So what are some of the other programs that you provide? You work a lot with youth.
We sure do. We sure do. Probably our most well-known program and a program where we are truly having a difference is our conflict resolution training program. So the Peace Center works very extensively in the community, leading trainings and workshops in nonviolent conflict resolution with a very wide range of different client groups or community partner groups, including schools and after-school programs and summer camps and churches and synagogues and different faith communities, nonprofit organizations, social service agencies. We work with both youth and adults, and we work across the broadest imaginable demographic spectrum. So we work in the wealthy, you know, in wealthy suburban communities, and we work in the public housing courts, and we do these trainings really across the entire region, and we are reaching thousands of people every year with these trainings, which teach people, again, adults and youth, depending on who we're working with, very concrete and practical and effective skills and techniques for preventing, diffusing, and resolving conflict nonviolently. We have a very closely related program focused in specifically on teenagers called the Richmond Youth Peace Project.
Okay.
And it's very much tied to our conflict resolution training program because there's a component of the Richmond Youth Peace Project that's focused on conflict resolution. But it's really, it's a larger youth empowerment and nonviolence program for teenagers where we train a wonderful group of teen leaders to themselves be able to lead trainings in nonviolent conflict resolution with other children.
Okay, so they're bringing it out to their peers or to the younger kids?
They're bringing it out to their peers and younger children, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So how do those youth find out about the program?
Like, we seem to have very little trouble finding youth, and in fact, we have our next training for youth trainers. So we're training our new cohort of teenagers to become our Peace Center conflict resolution leaders. And we have something like 20 or 25 slots available, and we've gotten 45 or 50 applications already for a limited number of
slots. That's kind of heartening to think that this generation is interested in this type of work.
True. The young people are really thirsty for this. They really, really are.
Now, how once the youth have gone through the training and been oriented, do they stick with you all school year?
They do, and most do. Most do. We have some attrition, but
well, with any program, with you
do.
You gotta expect that.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot of our young people, we train them in eighth or ninth grade, and we see them grow and develop and blossom into confident program leaders, and that's just a beautiful thing. And in fact, some of our young people have stayed with us so long that then they graduate to become part of our adult conflict resolution training team.
Oh, you know, that's
so they start off as the teen, sort of in the teen program, and they kind of graduate to really become peers with really phenomenal skills.
What are some of the other things that you work on in terms of programming?
We have a couple of other facets of our youth program, including a wonderful annual Youth Peace Summit for teenagers. So that's an annual regional conference for teens. Last year was our largest to date. We had about 150 teenagers from across the region convene for a day-long conference focused on youth empowerment, conflict resolution, creative, positive, artistic forms of expression. We had 20 or 24 different workshops. Many of them were led by teenagers themselves. So it's a conference organized and envisioned by teenagers for other teenagers, designed to empower teenagers to become agents to build a better community here in our region.
Oh, that's awesome. So are you the one that's responsible for training the teens, or do you have other folks that you partner with or that you have on staff to do that?
We have a staff. Mm-hmm. We have a staff, so we have a small program staff of part-time staff people who work with our teenagers. And we also have some very committed volunteers who have been involved in the Richmond Youth Peace Project for teenagers for a very long time. And in fact, one particular volunteer I'll mention by name, and that's Ram Bhagat, who is...
I think I may have heard of him. Is he the one with the drums, no guns?
He is indeed.
Oh,
he is indeed. And he's an incredible visionary, a longtime educator. He teaches at Open High School. And he, in fact, really founded the Richmond Youth Peace Project originally you know, back in 2004. And he has been our partner with the Richmond Youth Peace Project for all of these years.
And he's doing it as a volunteer.
He does it as a volunteer.
Oh, that's
mostly
awesome.
Yeah. The other, you asked about what some of our other program areas are. And the other kind of area of focus is that we, the Peace Center, as I mentioned, was founded in response to the nuclear arms race and with a focus on global peace issues. And while over the years we've come to focus more on the local issues, we still are very committed to continuing to educate the community about those global issues related to peace and war. And so we do a few things to advance those goals. One is that we coordinate a program statewide. We co-coordinate it together with the local Quaker Meeting House, Richmond Friends Meeting. Mm-hmm. And it's an exhibit called Eyes Wide Open, Virginia. And it's a very powerful and somber display of combat boots representing Virginia soldiers who have lost their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we coordinate this exhibit statewide, and we invite other organizations and other host groups across the state to actually display the exhibit. Mm-hmm. So we promote it, and we keep track of it and protect the boots. And we offer it for free to any other group who'd like to host it in their community. And it has been all over the state to dozens of different locations. And it's just a way of really reminding people about the human cost of war and the cost of war to the Commonwealth of Virginia. And it's almost like if you don't have a loved one in the military, you can just kind of go about your life without remembering or being forced to confront the loss of life.
Yeah.
And we do it in a way that is very respectful of the military families who've lost loved ones. And we write letters to the military families to alert them when the exhibit is coming near their hometown. Mm-hmm. And we invite them to come and visit the exhibit and also place memorabilia on the boots. And so a number of the boots over time have accumulated memorabilia, notes from loved ones or pictures of children, or and we preserve and keep all that memorabilia from the families with the boots so that over time the exhibit takes on
more and more personal
personalization. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So have you had good response from the families coming out?
We have. We have had many times loved ones of soldiers who have lost their lives have come to the exhibit, attached memorabilia. They have either thanked us when they leave, or you know, they have just left without saying much.
It sounds incredibly moving and powerful. Is that exhibit going to be around here sometime soon?
The next time the exhibit is scheduled, it will be in Charlottesville on the Pedestrian Mall at Veterans Day, so November 11th.
Okay, so that's coming up.
We also hold different occasional educational forums and vigils focused on issues related to war. For example, in the spring, we held a large public forum entitled Peace Perspectives on Iran, Why Military Intervention is Not the Answer, which convened a panel of three experts, two academic scholars, and another writer from Charlottesville as a panel who shared just some of the deeper history and deeper analysis that you don't really get when you just read the headlines to help the community understand the history of the conflict between Iran and the West. And, you know, it explored all the reasons why war against Iran would, in fact, be incredibly dangerous and damaging, and how, in fact, a diplomatic solution would actually be quite attainable, if certain measures were taken to really engage in a diplomacy in a very serious way.
Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR. We're talking with Adria Scharf of the Richmond Peace Education Center. You can learn more about them at their website, which is www.rpec.org. It's rpec.org. Now, you've talked some, Adria, about how you've engaged volunteers in your work. You gave the great example of Ram Bhagat really helping to found part of your youth programming. Mm-hmm. Are there other ways that you get the community involved in your work?
We could not do half of what we do without volunteers and interns. We, in every, you know, and we are a small organization. We have an incredible We do an incredible amount given how small we are. So we have a small paid staff, and we welcome volunteers with every committee, every program, every facet of what we do. So yes, we have a membership of about 1,200 people, okay. And we invite all of our members and any other community member who's interested in participating to plug in. We have lots of different functioning committees, many of which are volunteer-led, and we have opportunities for volunteers at all levels, from people who just want to do a shift for 2 hours at one of our literature tables in the community, mm-hmm. to people who really want to take leadership and take ownership over entire areas within the organization. So we rely heavily on volunteers and appreciate our volunteers
Great.
Very much.
So would people go to your website to learn more about
yes.
that? And also to learn about how to become a member?
Yes, yes. There's a join link on our website if people want to become a member. And yes, they could check our website and they could also email the organization at rpec@rpec.org. Send okay. an inquiry. Let us know you'd like to volunteer, and we will be promptly in touch.
Great. rpec@rpec.org.
Correct.
That's rpec.org. Okay, great. Thanks, Adria. So I'm curious to know, Adria, what made you want to take on this role directing an organization like RPEC?
My husband and I moved to Richmond from Boston in 2005, and I very quickly discovered the Peace Center. I was finishing my doctoral dissertation, so I was holed up at my computer all summer and thought, you know, if I just finish these last chapters, I'll, you know, as I'm entering the final phase of editing, I will find a wonderful organization to volunteer with. So I sat down with the then chair of the board of directors just to, you know, learn more and, you know, offer my services as a volunteer. And in sitting with the chair, Wendy Northup, she was telling me about the history of the organization and the mission. And I just felt like I really got it. I mm-hmm. got it sort of in my core. And I mm-hmm. became very excited about the mission that this organization has worked for so many years. And the social change work that it does and the spirit of nonviolence that it commits itself to. And as it turned out, toward the end of our meeting, Wendy said, you know, by the way, we're looking for an executive director, and there were just, you know, I think a few days left in the hiring process, and huh. said, you know, if you happen to want to submit your resume, do so quickly. So I threw my hat in the ring and have been so happy that the timing worked out. And
yeah,
just
it
so
sounds
happy.
Like the stars were aligned.
I feel
yeah.
like the stars were yeah. aligned.
Well, I'm curious, fortunate. What were you studying with your PhD?
My
Is it
PhD,
related?
I was actually studying. I was studying sociology, organizational sociology, and my background is more in economic sociology, looking at economic issues,
well, but that's
workplace
clearly
issues.
Linked
there are, there
to
are
issues of justice.
Linked. Absolutely.
Yeah, issues
no,
of equality. I
are.
Mean, so many of our issues dealing with inequality are economically based.
Very
right?
true. Absolutely true. Yeah. There are linkages. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe not the most natural link that some people might envision, but it sounds like a great fit personality-wise and clearly passion-wise. You clearly have it in your heart
so,
and soul.
I feel so fortunate to do work that I believe in so deeply and to be able to work for an organization and to be part of a community of people who, you know, who share this project of building a more peaceful and just community.
So it's been 6 years then? You've been director
been
about 6 years now?
I think that's right. Mm-hmm.
So can you share a little bit about maybe some of the highlights that you've experienced since you started your role there?
Sure. I mean, for one thing, it's just been exciting to see the growth and to feel like we have, over the last 6 years, built the Peace Center in to be a stronger force for peace and justice in the community, because that, of course, is the ultimate goal. It's exciting to see the organization build from a smaller, less active organization into an organization that really is beginning to have an impact, and we have so much more to do. But there's so many highlights. I mean, you know, one highlight has been just getting to know some of our youth leaders over mm-hmm. time. And as I mentioned, you know, to get to see our young people kind of grow up and see what a formative impact their involvement in the Richmond Peace Education Center has on them, you know, and as future leaders
right.
for social change.
And you can imagine
leaders for peace.
How that positive impact ripples out to their family, their friends,
yes.
other youth that they're around
yes,
too.
Yes, that is absolutely true and absolutely our hope. And so that's been a wonderful thing. You know, I love it when we do an event that really where you really just feel that energy and the curiosity, and you have a question and answer period following a community event that you've organized that just won't stop, where people, you know, it's 9:15, 9:30 at night, people need to get home, put their kids to bed, and they don't want to leave. You know, mm-hmm. they have more questions about peace and justice and war that, you know, they want to continue to be engaging in discussion about. And it's been exciting too. You know, I have to say our youth conflict resolution team has just been an exciting, you know, it's been an exciting invention, you know, that we have created this, you know, this youth institution now where for 6 years, year after year, we have young people thirsty for conflict resolution skills, thirsty to lead these programs in the community with their peers who are literally, you know, knocking down our door to get the opportunity to become, you know, a youth conflict resolution leader for the Richmond Peace Education
Center. Yeah, that's awesome. Are there any surprises that you've experienced coming in? I mean, well, let me ask you this. Had you worked in a nonprofit setting before or led an organization
I had in Boston. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. No, a couple times. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had led other nonprofit organizations before.
So were there any surprises coming into RPEC that you experienced?
You know, one thing I was impressed by is that RPEC was very well organized, and I have benefited from that, mm-hmm. you know, as an executive director, that I walked into an organization, while it was very under-resourced and small, tiny, it had committees with committee chairs that really took their jobs seriously. It had very carefully documented minutes mm-hmm. and, you know, sort of accounting systems and such. So you just had the feeling that this organization, you know, it's had a core of leaders that over the years from 1980 to this point have really seen the organization through and made sure that those fundamental pieces were in place. In terms of other surprises, you know, it was wonderful moving from Boston to Richmond to see what an incredible network of peace-minded people there are here in Richmond, you know, mm-hmm. and I didn't necessarily expect that moving here from, you know, the liberal New England.
Sure. You know. Well, not always the loudest voices in our community, so.
Very, very true. But boy, scratch the surface, and there are just incredible networks and so much going on sort of under the surface here in Richmond. I feel like I've lived in so many other cities, from New York to Boston, Washington, D.C., Seattle. In Richmond, I feel like people are very community-minded here, more so than in other places that I've lived, personally. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Don't want to make a gross generalization, but I've been impressed, and it wasn't necessarily something that I expected to find coming here, just so many countless different little grassroots efforts, from community gardens to the MICA initiative to, you know, every other right. faith community has some wonderful peace and justice advocacy group doing sometimes small-scale but important educational things.
You're right. I mean, even those small things add up to a big
yeah.
change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I feel like there's a real culture of community engagement here that I actually think is stronger than people necessarily give it credit for.
I agree with that. Yeah. I think sometimes people sell Richmond short in terms of sometimes change is slow in Richmond. You got to acknowledge that. But there are still a lot of people that are committed to seeing positive change happen. And you're right. Sometimes that's not acknowledged, but because of voices like yours, because of organizations like Richmond Peace Education Center and others, we are starting to see that more and more. So so keep it up. Now tell me, what are some of the things, you mentioned a couple of events that you have coming up in the fall. Do you have some other things coming up you want to share?
We do. Let's see. On October 9th, which is a Tuesday at 7 o'clock at the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Richmond over by Bird Park, mm-hmm. we're having a racial justice forum called Overcoming Richmond's Racial Divide, Standing Together Against Poverty. And we have a wonderful panel coming together for a discussion and question and answer period focused on solutions to poverty. And part of the evening will engage the widely anticipated mayoral commission report by the Anti-Poverty Commission,
right.
which is scheduled for release sometime early this fall, probably sometime around then. And the focus will be on concrete solutions and really what will it take to truly stand together and tackle this issue of poverty in our community, which has really reached crisis proportions, with basically one out of four people and about a third of our young people falling under the poverty line.
Wow, that is striking when you think about that. So that's going to be on October 9th.
That's October October 9th.
It sounds like a really strong and an interesting topic. And one of those nights when I think you might need to plan on staying late to answer all the questions.
It's completely free and open to the public, and I encourage people to come. On November 10th, we're having our largest fundraiser of the year, our dinner and auction, which is an annual event. It's a real gala. And this is an incredibly fun and wonderful evening. And I really want to invite the community to attend. The tickets are required, so you do need to contact the office to get your tickets in advance. But this fundraising event is so important to the Peace Center. It raises funds equivalent to most of our program budget for a good portion of our program budget for the year. It probably raises over half of our program dollars for the year. So again, that's November 10th, and that's at 6 p.m., and that's our dinner and auction, and it's just a wonderful evening.
So you can get information about all these events on your website, I take
it? Yes, absolutely.
Great. And what's that website again?
That's www.rpec.org.
Great. Well, we are starting to run out of time. I always run out of time when I'm having a great conversation. So, Adria Sharp of Richmond Peace Education Center, thank you so much for spending some time with me here in the studio.
Thank you so much, Elaine.
Yeah, really appreciate it. And again, if you want more information about RPEC, Richmond Peace Education Center, you can go to rpec.org. I also want to thank Jay Westerman for serving as Inspire Indeed's sound engineer. If you'd like to see what other inspiring leaders I've caught up with lately, you can visit the Inspire Indeed page on WRIR.org or go to inspireindeed.blogspot.com, and you can see a list of shows I've done as a volunteer host over the past few months. WRIR is a volunteer-powered station that relies on listeners, supporters, and underwriters to keep a local voice on the airwaves. So thanks to all of you who have made a contribution during our recent pledge drive. It really is an important show of support for the station, and not only shows your support to help keep the lights on and the transmitters transmitting, but also demonstrates that we're all in this together. So thank you so much for your support. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you've learned something here today that inspires you to consider how you might make a difference with your deeds.